Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. This episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. And they do a lot of other really cool stuff as well. So definitely check them out. Today on the Startup Hustle podcast, we have a really, really fantastic guest. And I have to tell you very selfishly that I love it when we have Innovate Her KC members on the show, because I love being able to help tell their stories and learn more about them. And this is a very, very, very selfish thing that I'm doing right now. But you will get to benefit as well, because we have with us today Tamala Handy. And she is the host of Gumbo Nights with Miss Handy, just doing some really, really fantastic work in podcasting, and a really fantastic creative individual. I mean, I feel like you kind of do all sorts of stuff, so we're going to dive into that. But thank you so much for being with us here today, Tamala.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and excited to participate in this conversation with you.
Yes. Well, that is exactly what we want to hear, and we are ready to go. So let's hop right into it. And the first question I'm going to ask you is kind of the softball question, but why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and Gumbo Nights with Miss Handy?
Great. I am a communications and engagement strategist by day. And about a little over 2 years ago, I decided to jump into podcasting, and I didn't put very much thought into it. What was happening at the time was I was in a relationship that was going south. And prior to that, I had been spending a lot of my time by myself thinking about that relationship, and it wasn't getting me anywhere. You know, at that point I was like, it is what it is. So I wanted to find something to do that was productive with my time and that would be fun. So I decided, hey, let me just use this Anchor app that I've been having on my cell phone for several months and go ahead and launch a podcast. And so that's what I did. And so I was sitting at work, and the name Gumbo Nights with Miss Handy came to mind. So the next day I recorded it, and I'm telling you, I didn't put any thought into it. The episode was about toilet paper. Some things that had happened. Right. Some funny things that had happened with me and toilet paper. And I've been on this path with the podcast ever since then. And that's the sole reason why I launched it. But I love all things communication. I love to write. I do blogs on Medium. I do poetry. I've been doing poetry since I was a kid. And there's a book in me that I am actually writing now. So that's a little bit about me.
I just feel like you do so much that, like, anytime you're talking about something you do, I'm just like, yeah, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more underneath the surface. Well, so I do have a kind of silly question that I want to ask you. Okay. But when you say Gumbo Nights with Miss Handy, do you make a mean pot of gumbo?
No, I do not.
No. But, you just, I mean, did you want to like bring forth that like kind of Southern soul flavor like in your podcast?
Well, there's two things. So I was born in Louisiana. So we know gumbo originated in the South, in New Orleans.
Sure.
So that's the gumbo part. But then the other part of it is my podcast is not solely focused on one particular topic like entrepreneurship. I talk about all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And this whole life is a variety, a mixture of different experiences. So that's why I call it Gumbo Nights. Nights is just in there just for fun. But yeah. In terms of gumbo, those different experiences that we go through personally and professionally, relationships, family, friendships, just a hodgepodge of stuff. You throw that all in a pot, that's gumbo.
Stir it up and then it tastes delicious, right?
Exactly.
I love that. I love that so much. All right. So that was my kind of silly question. But now let's talk a little bit more about, well, first I actually want to ask you about some of your more creative endeavors before we dive right into the podcast. So talk to us. You said that you write poetry.
I do. So I've been writing poetry ever since I was a little kid. I was an only child growing up, and so I spent a lot of time by myself. I love to read. And so a lot of times when kids would be outside playing, I was locked in a room comfortably with a book because I love to read. And that has since makes sense why I love to write so much. But then during those quiet times, I fell in love with poetry, just writing random things. I remember this poem I wrote in junior high school called Life. And ever since then, I've been writing poetry, and it's very therapeutic. If I'm going through something in my life, I'll turn that into a poem.
So when you're talking to other people in your life, because you're definitely like a communications advocate, you know, I've read some of the articles that you've written, and, you know, I feel like not only are you an expert communicator yourself, but you also want to help others communicate well. So when you talk to them about the more personal aspects of their experience, like that cathartic release that you get from poetry, what do you tell them? How do you encourage them to kind of tap into that? I would almost say like lesser used side, like most people don't use their creative side much in their day to day. Right.
Right.
So how do you encourage the people that you talk to and the people that you work with to tap into that?
Well, ironically, part of my personal branding, you know, my last name is Handy, H-A-N-D-I-E. So
right.
I always advocate the fact that courage comes in handy. And it does. So in order for us to be able to show up and communicate and say the things that we need to say, because that, I think, is part of the issue. Sometimes we just don't have the confidence and the courage to say what needs to be said. And if you can do that, if you can get to that point and be able to openly share, then you can move into that creative space. So the thing I do to get other people to open up is I share those sometimes private things about myself, things about who I was, the things that I have in common with them, because oftentimes people will assume that you're the person that you've always been that. And I have. Right. I was usually the quietest person in the room, barely said anything. And then by the grace of God, 20 years ago, my whole life changed. And so the person that you see now was developed 20 years ago because of a life-changing experience that I'd be glad to share with you if you want me to share that.
I would absolutely love to hear it. I love hearing. I want to hear your story. Let's hear it.
Well, 20 years ago, I believe it was March 22nd of 2001, and that 20-year anniversary is coming up next week, so I'm super excited about it. But I was one out of 42 people chosen to participate in something called the Get Real Challenge. Okay. And then, on the Oprah Winfrey Show, she'd have Dr. Phil McGraw on her show every Tuesday. And I always watched the Oprah Winfrey Show. And if I can set the stage for you, I had just gotten married the year before in September of 2000. This is now March of 2001. So I'm online and I'm looking at the Oprah Winfrey website, and there's a story on there. If you want to be locked in the room with Dr. Phil and share your story, tell us your story, send it in, you may be chosen. Well, lo and behold, I was chosen again. One out of 42 people from all across the country out of more than 15,000 applicants.
Wow.
All of us showed up in Chicago. They paired us up with a buddy. We had a roommate and we just stayed in the room, locked with Dr. Phil and his team to share our stuff. Now, my stuff was the fact that I was extremely negative, and then also the fact that I had lost my grandfather a few years before that, so I was carrying around all of this grief, which made me depressed. So here I am, a newlywed, I'm extremely negative, I'm carrying all this grief and depression, so imagine how my marriage is.
Yeah.
So I went into that experience, opening up and sharing all of that, and I left Chicago 5 days later, transformed and committed to sharing my creative side and exploring that. So I've been on that path of personal development for the past 20 years, every single day, trying to think positive, trying to be a better version of myself, the person that I know I was created to be.
Yeah. Well, and so how impressive and incredible that you were turning what some would see as kind of negative circumstances. You know, you were grieving over your grandfather, you kind of had this negative mindset. You were able to turn that into such an opportunity and something so, that has been such a positive catalyst in your life. Like, that's just really cool that you were able to kind of rise above and you know, embark on that growth journey, but turn it into something that's been so important to you in your life. That's amazing.
And I can't take credit for it because it only happened because of the tools and the teachings that Dr. Phil shared with us. You know, he told us you have to behave your way out of whatever it is that you're dealing with.
Sure.
And so me sharing openly and talking about those things is how I ended up to get to where I am. And then after I left Dr. Phil, the following year, I had a story that was published in a book by Tavis Smiley called Keeping the Faith.
And okay.
It's a collection of stories from African-Americans from all across the country about love and healing. And so I talked about my grandfather and I wrote about how he had impacted my life and how when he passed away, I died. You know, and that's what I would do continuously prior to going to Dr. Phil. Whenever I had a challenge in my life, I would lay down and die. And then I had to choose to not do that, to navigate my way through those challenges, keep moving forward. And I, like I said, I've been on this path ever since then.
Yeah. Wow. That is amazing. And I'm going to have to pick up a copy of that Keeping the Faith book. I didn't know that. well,
it's an old book, but the stories are still, you know.
Sure, still relevant today, I would imagine. I mean, if it's, especially if it's people's stories of their personal journeys, I love narratives like that. So let me ask you this, you know, you've been on this long journey and you have become this fully actualized, activated communicator. And so I'm going to ask you like a very general question to kind of kick us off on this discussion, but why is communication so important to you?
Well, for so many years of my life, you know, like I talked about leading up to Dr. Phil, I would think about what I wanted to say, but I didn't have the courage to say it. So I was going through life living invisible, but having all of this stuff and these gifts and talents and things that I wanted to share, but I just didn't have the courage to do it. So once I developed that and I realized how fun it is and how therapeutic it is to be able to create, because what I've discovered in doing my work and my day job, people need to have their hands in the clay to be able to create something. And so when you do that, that is when the engagement comes out, when people will show and be actively and deeply engaged because they can see what they made. They can see their name on something. They can see, oh yeah, I did that. And so once I started to do that, then I started to come alive. So that's why communication is important to me. Creativity is communication and being able to speak up. So another reason why I'm doing my podcast is because I kept myself quiet for so many years in my life. This is now an opportunity for me to share the things that I've learned and help people so that they don't get stuck like I did. I was living an invisible life and didn't even know it. Dead and hopeless and living a dark life. So the podcast allows me to be able to encourage people and share openly, this is how I was, but this is how you can avoid doing that. And if I can do it, you can too.
Yeah. Well, and I'm smiling here because I think that you hit it, you know, when you communicate, you're sharing your message for sure. But I feel like, I mean, you just shared a pretty personal story with us. Like you're also sharing yourself, you know, and I feel like, I mean, I've noticed this about you. Like you're just very authentic and you're very real in how you share. And I love that. Well, you mentioned the podcast and that's actually the conversation that I thought we were going to be having, but we just kind of took like a little detour to get there, which happens sometimes. But so talk to me about the podcast. You know, you decided that you wanted to share your truth in this particular medium. Why?
Well, actually the podcast also was a way of me healing. So as I mentioned, I was going through a relationship that was going south. So
yeah.
My attention off of that stuff and finding a way to serve and help others, because that's the thing that I've discovered, you know, we're always going to go through stuff. Life comes with, you know, challenges sometimes every day, big and small. But the way that I help myself is to stop being selfish and wallowing in stuff and find a way to get up and speak and help other people. And that servitude and that servant attitude is what helps me to heal and to heal faster than I normally would. Because like I said, my old self, I would just lie in bed and be depressed. But no, I still get up on my pack, get on my podcast and talk about important things, even when I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Boom, after that, you know, I'm back to myself again. So that's really the reason for the podcast, because there is a lot of people that they are going through things that they've been dealing with since childhood. And
yeah.
Often you just don't have the courage, or you don't even have the ability to figure out what that is and try to heal from it. So
right.
What I want people to get from the podcast is a way to be entertained, to be enlightened, but also find a way to move through life and navigate through those challenges without lying down and just dying.
I love that. Well, so let's, for our listeners at home, let's talk a little bit about the logistic pieces. So podcasting, of course, is a huge medium for folks who want to get a message out there. And I don't even know how many podcasts there are out there, but hey, you're on one right now. So clearly it is a method and a vehicle that works. So podcasting is your chosen medium, but what are some of the things that you do, not just as host, but also as producer and, you know, the individual who wants to ensure the success of your podcast? What are some things that you can do in order to get more listeners, to put out compelling content, to talk about interesting things? Like what are some of the things that you do?
Well, the thing that I do mainly is to just be authentic. You know, of course, like you said, there are tons of podcasts. And now with the pandemic, gosh, who knows how many more have been developed just since the past year.
Right.
And it kind of seems like the market is oversaturated, which it may or may not be. I'm not sure. But you have to find out what is the thing that you can continue to talk about every single week or 2 weeks, however often it is that you do your podcast. So I knew that I wouldn't want to talk about the same thing every time. So that's why I'm mixing.
And that's where gumbo came from. You were like, we're going to make some gumbo instead.
Yeah. So it has to be something that's going to continue to interest you, where you would show up and be deeply engaged in it. So
yeah.
Whatever that is, try to figure out what that is and who is your audience. You know, who are you trying to reach, and figure out what that is. And then I don't put a lot of thought, you know, like I don't have a calendar ahead of time about, you know, I'm going to talk about this subject. I just do things as they come to me. You know, I try to pay attention to what I feel. And if something feels passionate or it's evoking something in me, then I go with that. And there's been some things that I've recorded and I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. But that's the thing. Just find out what is your signature thing, because we can go and look and try to see all these different podcasts and try to model ourselves after that.
Right.
That's not the thing that I would recommend. What is it that you should do? What feels good for you? And where can you show up and express the highest version of yourself? That's what you should go with.
Yeah. I love that so much. Like I love it when people operate on instinct or like go with their gut, I think is the better way to phrase that. Like, just be who you are, do what you feel, you know, as long as it's not hurting somebody else. Like, and I feel like that's kind of, you're living that in a medium that you don't often see that. Like, most of the podcast hosts that I know, like, plan their content meticulously. Like, this week we're going to do this and then we're going to do this. And, you know, so I love that you bring such a spontaneity to what you do. Like, I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about, and it's going to be interesting because I'm an interesting person and you're going to listen. And that's the way it works. Right.
One reason for me doing it that way is because ultimately I have aspirations of being a motivational speaker. And so The way that I would prefer to do it is to be able to speak confidently without having notes. I don't want to have a script. Nothing wrong with that, but just personal preference. I want to know my stuff so deeply and intensely so I can get up and talk to you about whatever for 20, 30 minutes, no problem, no script or anything. So the podcast is really practice for me to get to where I'm ultimately trying to go. So kind of like I'm doing a TED Talk on every podcast.
Yeah.
Just winging it.
That is really awesome. Really quickly, I do want to break in, and we do have to give some love with one of my favorite communicators. We've got to talk about Full Scale. Full Scale is the sponsor of this episode of Startup Hustle, and they are there for you if you need to build a software team. They are there to help you implement efficiencies, save you some money, and help you build a team that you can rely on. So we love Full Scale, and we are supremely grateful for their sponsorship. Go Full Scale. Yay. So let me ask you this. You know, you talk about a lot of different communication mediums that you use, and I love the fact that you want to be a motivational speaker. I can totally see that, by the way. Do you have any motivational speakers that you listen to on the regular for inspiration? I'm just curious.
I do. I love a lot of different people. So for years, my ultimate favorite motivational speaker was the late Wayne Dyer.
Okay.
He is awesome. And then I also love Tony Robbins. I love Les Brown. I love Brene Brown. Just tons of different people that I follow and listen to regularly. And then I got introduced to someone, and this woman lived, gosh, I think back in the 1800s, Florence Fogel Shinn. I found her on YouTube, and this woman's teachings are so amazing. We talk about law of attraction before we even knew what law of attraction was. You know, I'm so excited to talk about her because, you know, you have innovators. And this is a woman that I had never heard of until maybe about 6 months ago. And she had great books that are now that have been transferred to audio, someone reading them. And so I suggest if you're a person that is into manifestation and law of attraction and being on a path of attracting the things that you want in your life, check out on YouTube Florence Fogel Shinn. And I learned some things that just have literally been life changing for me.
Yeah, I totally just wrote that down because that's something that I'm going to have to look up when we hop off the call. I learned so much from our podcast guests. It's amazing because I had never heard of her either. Okay, so I have a question about something that you said, and I loved what you said. You were talking about practice. You know, like, someday I want to be a motivational speaker. So right now, the podcast that I'm doing is this vehicle to help me improve and to help me kind of internalize the things that I want to say, so that when I'm ready, I'm going to be really, really good at what I want to do. So we actually not too long ago did a Startup Hustle TV episode. I do believe it was episode 6, just throwing that out there, on content. And we talk about the fact that, you know, in order to do content well, you're going to have to start by doing content really badly. Like, just do it and you practice and you get better and you refine. And so I kind of want to talk to you about that. Like, what were your first podcast episodes like? Do you kind of look back on them and you cringe, or do you look back on them and you're like, yeah, they were pretty good?
Well, you know what? I haven't gone back, at least not recently, and gone back to listen to those. But what is ironic for me is my first two episodes have been the most listened to of all of my podcasts.
Really?
Like, drastic differences. But I'm not saying that it was because they were so good. I was actually talking about some really personal, deep things. So it could be just the topic itself. I don't know. But because I haven't gone back and listened, because if I do, I am very critical of myself. I would probably be like, oh my God, that was awful. Yeah. You know? And I need to do that, but I've just been so busy doing stuff. But
oh yeah, totally.
I tend to, before I actually hit publish, I'll listen to it over and over again and make sure I'm comfortable with it. But that practice is very important. And I had to get used to also, talking about podcasters, get used to the sound of your voice. Because growing up, I actually hated my voice. It seemed like it was dark and heavy. Oh my gosh, I sound terrible. Well, I developed some confidence in my day job because I started doing these communication projects where I would do videos talking about different services that we offer, and those things, everybody sees those. And so they had to coach me about not sounding monotone. You know, I'm reading the copy and I'm just so flat. No, put some inflection in your voice. Get some excitement behind it. And so those types of things is take your phone and record yourself talking and listen to yourself. Would you want to listen to your voice? You know, and if you wouldn't, then there are some things that you can do, some techniques to change the way that your voice sounds, change the speed. Yeah. And you want to put emphasis on things. There's just subtle things that you can do to make your voice. Because when you're doing podcasting, a lot of times my podcast, I don't do video on mine. So all I have is my voice. That's my only tool. So I can show up and be even more excited and more engaging to get people interested in what I'm doing.
That is so fascinating. And that's yet another component of communication. Like, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. And I would say, I mean, there are studies out there that show that those two things are equally important.
Yes.
What you say, how you say it. It's really funny. My partner, he's working on his own kind of web series, and he was asking me for pointers because, you know, I do this on a pretty regular basis at this point. And I was like, you are going to want to, I was like, when you're talking, you're going to want to sound like you are a cheerleader on steroids. Like, you're going to want to sound that excited, and it's going to feel so weird to you because you're going to feel like you're like, you know, just crazy. Yeah. But you have to like punch up the emotion and the inflection and what you're like hoping to say. You have to punch it up by like a power of 10. And I was like, you're going to feel ridiculous, I promise. But that is the only way that you're going to come out with any kind of inflection, and you can't, like, otherwise you're just going to sound flat. Like, it's just the truth.
That's the same thing they told me, Lauren, when they were coaching me. They were like, you're going to feel so ridiculous doing this, and it did. But now it's like, okay, I get it.
Like, in nature.
Right.
That is awesome. Well, so talk to me, you know, another thing that you're just really, really great at, and this is actually, I would say, the medium that I have explored most with you, is your writing. You know, what are some of the things that you do, or the tips and tricks that you have for our listeners? Like, how do you craft a message well in the written form?
Well, you know, during the pandemic last year, I've always loved to write, of course, but I hadn't explored the Medium platform. So if any of your listeners are subscribers to Medium, there's tons of writers on there that share information on every single topic that's available. So my best friend had told me about Medium, but I hadn't tried it. So when I was working from home, I'm like, why don't I write about my experience working from home? And so I put together this blog, essay, article, whatever you want to call it, Lean In and Lockdown.
Nice.
And I can't remember the exact title of it. I should remember, but something like that. Lean in and lock down.
I really like that. If that's not the title, it should be.
Yeah, that's part of it, but I think there's more on in the subtitle. But so I wrote this article and it was pretty long. I think it was maybe about 15 minutes long. And I hit publish and I just pretty much, you know, went and hid because I'm like, who's going to read this? Are they going to like it? And I got so much positive feedback. Especially from women who were saying, oh my gosh, the things that you're saying, because I was very candid and I'm saying a lot of the things that we think, but we just are not comfortable saying. And so that's been my approach in my writing is to show up and because everybody can say what we already know.
Right.
Who wants to read that? I think I'm here to say some things that people have not heard or they haven't seen in writing yet, but they think it all the time. And so that approach worked well, and I got so much positive feedback that I said, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do in all of my writing. So everything that I do, everything that I share is something that it's a personal experience for me, but I'm going to go there and I'm going to go deeper and I'm going to say the things that everybody else, they're thinking it, but they just don't have the courage to say it. And I'm the person that will say it, you know, and I tread lightly, you know, I'm not doing anything that I think is offensive to anybody, but it's still things that are very bold. And I found, because I've heard comments from other women that say, oh, I wish I was as direct as you, you know, I wish I could do that. Well, you can do that, but you got to get doing it. So that's been my approach for sharing things on Medium, is just sharing my own experience and being bold and candid about it.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it all comes back to that authenticity piece. And like, if there were a word that I would associate with Tamala Handy, like authenticity would be like way, way up there on the list. So if that is your goal, congratulations, you're doing very well.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, so let me ask you this. Has there ever been, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit and I apologize in advance, but has there ever been a time when you have failed to communicate clearly? Like, I kind of want to hear about that a little bit. And then how did you overcome that?
Definitely. I mean, like I said, leading up to, you know, 20 years ago, I wasn't communicating at all. And so when I went into my marriage, I've been married now twice and divorced twice. First marriage, of course, terrible communication. There was basically none. So, and I was following the model that I saw at home. I have great parents, but their communication in their marriage was not what it should have been. So I was mirroring that same thing. And I'm sure that part of that lack of communication led to the demise of the marriage.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about communication. I mean, it's just such a foundational core skill to have. Like, think about it. Almost every job description that you see, they're like written and verbal communication skills. And then you go to like a marriage counselor and they're like, you have to communicate. Like, I mean, it's just so pervasive to who we are and how we operate in the world that like, I can totally see why you've kind of made it your life's mission. Like, this is really important. So we're going to focus on it. I love that.
And also, Lauren, I didn't mention, you know, not just in relationships, I wasn't communicating, but also at work.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been on my job now, this particular day job, for 20 years. But when I showed up, you know, I wasn't the person that would speak up in the meetings. I was, you know, or I would go into an interview prior to that, even working this job. And at the end, they say, do you have any questions? I'm like, no, I don't have any questions. You should always have questions, even if you got to make up something. So right. I was so closed off in my communication that I didn't even realize how I'm showing up in an interview. So, of course, I didn't get those jobs because I'm not even appearing as though I'm interested or even comfortable communicating.
Yeah.
Those things are important in terms of showing up on your team. You got to show up. You got to speak up in meetings. And I know I see some of my former coworkers, they would say, well, I don't have anything to say, but you have to, if you want to advance and elevate and be seen as someone that is someone that we need to look at. We want to promote this person. You got to learn how to communicate, and that's email, that's speaking. Even if you're not comfortable, you got to learn how to present, show up, do reports. All of it. Communication touches every aspect of our lives.
Right.
But silent all the time, it gives the appearance that you don't care and that you're disengaged.
So do you find that in your experience, women have more difficulty with that piece of communication than men? Or I just asked a very leading question. Like if I were a reporter, like people would smack me on the hand, but I'm not. So I'm just going to ask it.
And you know, of course, you know, I don't have any statistics behind it, but in my experience and doing the work that I do as a consultant and as a facilitator, the women are the ones that I see struggling with it.
Yeah.
Not to say that men don't have that struggle, but they haven't come to me and talked about it. The women are the one that are the ones that are more vocal and say, oh, I wish I could speak up like you. And, you know, and I, like I said, I see so many women and doing this for years of just silence at work.
Right.
Being ignored and invisible as well.
Yeah. I was just curious because I in the work that I do, I mean, of course, like I view everything through the woman lens, but I do tend to see that problem like in a very gendered way. Like, you know, women have imposter syndrome and women have been conditioned to be seen and not heard. And, you know, there are any number of like social ills that I could point to, but the end result is that women just tend to be quieter and they don't tend to communicate. And I'm not going to say aggressively, I'm going to say assertively, you know, holding that space in their working life, in their personal life. It's very interesting to me. And I always love seeing women who have overcome that because it's definitely something that needs to be worked at as you have, you know?
And you know what I found too, and I'm talking from my own family. So there's a lot of women, including my mother, you know, they didn't grow up where they had space where they could share how they feel and what they think.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't grow up that way. I had a father who was, he taught me to stand up and be courageous, and I had to get there, but I had a voice in my house. And so if you grew up not having that opportunity to share what you think, people ask you, what do you think about this? Or just to be able to be creative and share ideas, you tend to carry that into your adult life. And so then that same person as a kid shows up at work where you sit in a meeting, you don't have anything to say, you don't have anything to share.
Yeah, I love that. And thank you so much for kind of for relating it back to your personal experience. Like, I just think that that's so powerful. And I love you consistently do that, which I think is probably one of the reasons that you're so successful and so effective at what you do, because you're able to take something that's very personal and turn it to the kind of public good, or turn it into a piece of knowledge or wisdom to share. So that's super cool. So I just have a couple more questions. And the question that I am going to ask you now, we have talked around this and you have mentioned some things, but above all, Startup Hustle, we want to be instructive to our listeners. Like, you know, we want to have some fun. We want to be informational, but what can you tell the folks listening at home? Like, if you could impart one piece that we talked about being authentic, so I'm going to ask for something else. What is one piece of actionable advice that someone listening at home could apply to their communications tomorrow?
Well, one is just having the courage to be able to say the things that you need to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether that's in your relationship, whether that's at work, you know, you got to stand up and say what needs to be said.
And right.
Develop the courage to do that, you know, in your writing, in your speaking, in your casual conversations. One thing that people really struggle with is having those difficult conversations. And those, when you do that, you sometimes will find yourself getting locked into something and your freedom is at stake there.
Yeah.
But whatever you need to do to talk to someone, to heal, so that you can show up and share, because those things will weigh on you. And like
right.
I said, it impacts your whole life. You know, people bring their whole selves into work. And so when you can't say what you need to say, it impacts everything. You'll end up being this 70-year-old, 80-year-old, 90-year-old person that has been holding all of this stuff in. And as we know, yeah, it impacts everything. It impacts your health, impacts how you engage, impacts the relationships that you develop. So I would encourage folks to do whatever you need to do to dig down deep into yourself. If you got to listen to other people, watch how they did it, but speak up, stand up, and do the things that you need to do so that you can live and fulfill the highest expression of yourself.
Yeah, I love that. You actually mentioned that in the appointment booking that we did, like you're the highest expression of yourself. And I think that's a beautiful way to put that. I would also add, like, so for instance, for me, one of the issues that I've always had is I've been a writer my entire life, but I have not been a public speaker. I have not been a video content creator. Like, I hate the sound of my voice. I hate being on video right now. I'm even cringing. And so sometimes that courage can be a growth trajectory sort of thing. So like, I started off sharing my truth through writing. You know, this is how I can tell my story. This is where I feel confident and most me. But then, okay, now I've kind of, you know, I would never say that I've mastered it, but I feel comfortable with it, mm-hmm, as a vehicle to share of myself. What's the next step? Okay, well, you know, now let's start talking about podcasting. Oh, and then, you know, now we have this opportunity to turn the podcast into a video thing. Well, oh God, I really don't want to, but let's do it. And you just continue to kind of progressively stretch yourself.
Yes.
And you kind of fall into that here I am present. I can communicate across all of these different ways that I can be present in here and be me. And like, that was kind of my journey. And yeah, I mean, it sounds like that was your journey a little bit as well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I had a huge fear of public speaking when I first started out. And so what I would do is I would force myself. I remember even being in college when we had to get up and give a presentation, and I would literally just, you know, I could see myself just shaking and my voice and just, but I stood in it, embraced the fear, and you keep talking, keep slowing down, and then before you know it, maybe 5-7 minutes into it, then you're comfortable. So I think a lot of people will run away. They won't even get up there and do it. No, get up there and do it, and then work your way, behave your way out of it, you know. And I got more and more comfortable doing it each time. So I would just, the way I challenged myself was sign up. If there's a presentation, I'm going to get up there and do it, and I'll shake my way through it till I get calm. And so continuously doing that, then I've gotten to a point now where I'm comfortable. I'm not going to say I don't get nervous about it, but I don't think it's obvious anymore than I am.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's obvious either. I've been talking to you for 40 minutes now, and I'm just like, yeah, she's got a good handle on this stuff. You know, she gets it.
You know, what I will also say too, Lauren, is, you know, sometimes we put pressure on ourselves because we see someone else doing that, and because they speak and then they write and then they do all of this. No, what is it that is comfortable and in alignment with who you are? If you're not the person that wants to be a motivational speaker, you don't need to do that. I have a best friend who, she's very knowledgeable about HR, everything about human resources. She does not like being out in the front at all. She has no desire. And so when it comes to taking classes, and she's not going to do all that. And I appreciate that about her, because that's just not my thing. It doesn't move me. And I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm going to stay in my lane and work it. So that's the other piece of advice I would give to folks. Whatever your lane of influence is, stay in that, where you can show up and be your absolute best and share your gifts and talents. Forget what everybody else is doing. What is it you want to do, and where you can be your absolute best?
Because when you show up best when you show up as yourself. Like, no, I love that. All right, so I have one final question for you, and I don't know if I've ever asked this human question before, but I just got inspired. So, what kind of music are you listening to right now?
gosh, I love all types of music, but ironically, so I put together this playlist.
Yeah.
With my podcast, I have a Spotify playlist only available on Spotify for Spotify premium listeners.
Yeah.
I love Moonchild.
Okay.
And so some of you probably have already heard about Moonchild. I'm late to the party. So I discovered them, I think, in 2019. My cousin told me about them, and I absolutely love their music.
Okay. I love that. Well, Tamala, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. I knew it was going to be a good one. Of course it was, but no, you've been lovely. And thank you so much for taking the time.
I appreciate being here. This has been fun. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what else happens with the podcast. And
awesome.
Here's all the podcasters out there and the folks that communicate and create and all of those different creative fields.
That's right. We got to show them some love. We love y'all, and we know that what you do is hard. We respect it. You know who else we respect? We also respect Full Scale. We love Full Scale. They can help you build a software team quickly and affordably, and they make all of this, as in Startup Hustle, possible. And we're very, very grateful to them. That's it, folks. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us and listen to this very profound and authentic, amazing leader. Thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate you, and we will catch you next time.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.